listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 1st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I'm really glad to be here, and it's the 1st of October. Like 2025 is nearly done.
It's going by in a blast, isn't it?
But I love October. Witches and dragons and all kinds of fun stuff.
Well, I love all those things, and I also love October because that's when it gets less hot, and I am very thankful for that. And as always, I'm thankful to have you joining me, and I'm thankful for those that join us live in the chat. We always appreciate your contributions. We love seeing you. And also, just a shout out to those that do catch up with us from the archives, and we appreciate your feedback via email as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human connection. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, on to tonight's topic. Very excited to discuss this, the concept of are we living in a simulation? And you're right, it is October 1st, and because it's that first Wednesday of the month, we are very happy to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly.
Hey,
hello,
everybody.
Dr. Doug.
Hope everybody's doing good. Hello to everybody. Good to see people in the chat. I'm sure we're waiting on the other 100 that's going to join us shortly. Anyway, so tonight, kind of an interesting topic, really. Are we living in a simulation? And this is actually something I've been thinking about for quite some time, on and off, I should say. And I had a student from TFU sent me an email, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, and bringing this up and asking if I thought we lived in a simulation. And so I replied to her, and then I thought, well, you know, this would be a good topic for the next time I'm on, which is tonight. So I have a few points after giving it some thought. And of course, if you're a student, you're getting the newsletter, and I put an article in the newsletter this week, both TFU and IMHS, about are we living in a simulation. There's a lot of articles out there. I chose one that I thought was fairly balanced and provided some information, but I wanted to expand on it, and I wanted to get into my thoughts, what I've been thinking about when it comes to simulations over the past few months, and so that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. And so, just in case somebody is not familiar with the concept of the simulation, according to Google AI, the simulation hypothesis suggests that our perceived reality is actually a computer simulation created by a more advanced civilization. The metaphysical idea, or this idea, posits that the laws of physics could be algorithms, and that we experience as real, what we experience as real, is a complex digital construct. In other words, we're living inside of a computer. That's the point. In fact, I'm sure many of you are Star Trek fans. You think of the holodeck, right? And one of the most memorable episodes of the Next Generation episodes was that with Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty. And if you remember that episode, Moriarty.
I do. I remember that. It was a great episode.
It was. And his girlfriend are living in a holodeck, and they kind of broke out of it a little bit. But they were basically on a spaceship headed to some planet, and it was all a simulation. It was all inside the holodeck, and they, you know, they saved the flash drive it was on or whatever it was. And so Moriarty and his girlfriend are all happily still on their way to whatever planet they were headed to. But that's the kind of the idea, the holodeck. And but there are some differences, too, because while the Star Trek holodeck can be very detailed, in fact, I don't know how they get, you know, it's just TV, but, you know, how do they actually create getting wet or, you know, getting diving or on a beach or all that stuff? That's all information. We can get into that in just a sec here. I will tell you that the simulation hypothesis would answer some questions. For example, and not limited to, gravity. You know, we don't really understand gravity. What is it? Why does it happen? You know, what's it all about? We don't really know. And heck, with a computer program, you could just tell it, hey, things fall. You program that into the program, and that's the way it will work, right? So that's an easy fix. There's also another thing that came to my mind was things like evolution. Like if you look in the world, I mean, there are assumed millions of species of different whatever, animals, plants, birds, lizards, you name it, all these different species, right? Who engineered all that stuff? And not only what's currently out there, but what about over the eons, the millennia, the millions of years, the dinosaurs, all these different species back, you know, when these different extinction events happened, and they assumed or estimated that, you know, 70% of all species died out at that time, and on, you know, so it would make those explanations easy. Okay. It was just programmed into the computer. In fact, you could design the AI in the computer to just start engineering and creating these species. Okay. There's an easy answer, right, of where it's all come from. So that's on one side of it. And as I will restate at the end of this, just because it could explain it doesn't mean that is the explanation. So those are some of the things that might make sense for a simulation hypothesis. But let's get into some of the issues with the simulation hypothesis. And I'm not watching the chat at the moment, so if there's anything that comes up, one of you let me know. Here's one of the first things, and it's a big one. Everything in nature is information, right? Everything is information. The blade of grass out in your yard, there's a bunch of information around that. Not only the makeup of that blade of grass, the atoms, where they're at, the color, how long it is, all that kind of thing, but also where it's at in space and time, right? So that's information. And when you think about the sheer power and incredible technology required to keep track of every bit of information in the universe, is honestly beyond imagination. You have to keep track of everything. And we're not even getting into the quarks and all the subatomic particles and all that stuff. Yeah, that's all information. Where it's going, where you are right now, everything about you, what you're made up of, all of that is information, and it has to be stored somewhere, right? Well, some might argue, well, not so fast. It's kind of like a video game. You know, you're playing a video game and you're on a particular level, and, you know, you're looking at the screen and you're playing this game, maybe playing this avatar, this character, and you don't see the whole world. You just see what's on the screen. You see where you're at in whatever scenario you're in. And that's all the information that you require at that time. And, you know, that might sound good on the surface, but you can refute that argument. In other words, what I'm trying to say is all the information of the universe is in existence, and it must be, and I'll tell you why. Last night I was watching a documentary. It was the Draining the Oceans. Maybe you've seen it. And this one was on the Great Barrier Reef episode. And they gave an example of the SS Yungala, which is a ship that sank on the Great Barrier Reef back in 1911. It was known as the Australian Titanic, even though it actually sank before the Titanic. There was 122 that lost their lives, which is unfortunate. But what they did was they were, you know, they found the wreck, and they did two different scans with side scan sonar, one in 2004 and one in 2011. And they went back over both of those, the data from those two scans, and they discovered that the ship had shifted in the sand, causing a slight buckle in the hull. They discovered this in 2011. And this was actually caused by the cyclone or Hurricane Yasi in early 2011. And so here's the point. If we're living in a simulation, why was it necessary for the programmers, whoever they are, to make this change? If they wanted the ship to sink in the simulation, then why also make it shift in the sand years later and a buckle in the hull? In other words, it was unnecessary. So the bottom line point here is that happened. That ship sank. In 2004, it was sitting more upright, I believe. And then in 2011, after the cyclone came through, it kind of sifted and turned over a little bit more and got a buckle in the hull as a result. So that information was there. It happened. It happened outside of our view and outside of our knowledge, everyone's. They just recently discovered what happened to it. So there's one example that, you know, would counter the argument, like a video game, the only information you need is what you see in the screen in front of you. In other words, if we apply that to our reality, the only information we need is what we see in front of us right here and right now. It's kind of like the idealist theory, right? That, you know, reality only happens when you look at it, type of thing. And then there's other historical information that we discover. If we live in a simulation, why the complexity of past human and human-like ancestors? I mean, it seems to change. You know, things are discovered, but they exist outside of our view and outside of our knowledge. And so the reasonable conclusion is that we live in a base reality and that things happen all over the world, universe outside of our view and our knowledge. So,
well, if I can
pause for a
moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because Nolan has presented this. What if the simulation isn't controlled? What if the initial conditions are set and it just lets it go? Interactive of the environment.
Well, and to me, that would seem that would actually argue against the simulation then, because mm-hmm. that's actually what we are experiencing, right? Life mm-hmm. happens. Reality happens. Nobody's necessarily in control of it that we can determine. I'll get a little bit more into that in a moment, but
okay.
You know.
Just thought I'd inject that at the moment.
Yeah, and if there are any other points in the chat, please let me know. All right, any other comments before I continue?
Well, okay. It's been a little bit since I've talked, so I'll just throw this in.
Okay.
In regards to that, you know, I was just thinking about, we currently do simulations with our own supercomputers, and albeit in a much more limited fashion, but you do it for research
yeah.
purposes, right?
Right.
You throw
right.
some different things into the mix, and then you see what happens with those, you know, conditions. So we
like
could be
two
one of
galaxies
those.
Merging.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it could be just on a massive scale. I mean, if we are to think about an advanced society, it would have to be on a species, you know, if we're going to keep the Star Trek, you know, Q-like, right? You know, with godlike powers, mm-hmm. running these yeah. little experiments to see what different alternate realities could exist and things like that. So my two cents, but we can go on.
All right. So another point, and I don't have a lot to offer on this particular point, but if we are in a simulation, then where does consciousness come into play? And that's something to think about. You know, if we live in a simulation, then it calls the existence of consciousness into question. And, you know, I'm pretty sure we're all conscious for listening to this. I'm conscious, I think. All right. Next point. If we, and this is where we kind of get down to, begin to get down to practicality, I guess you would say. If we did find out that we're living in a simulation, then what really changes beyond understanding reality just a bit more? You know, what do we do with that? Okay, let's assume for a moment, yep, we're living in a simulation. Now what? What do we do with that? You know, how does this knowledge affect our day-to-day lives? How does this knowledge improve our day-to-day lives, our happiness, our fulfillment? You know, think about that, okay? We're living in a simulation, now what? And conversely, if we find out that we're not really living in a simulation, we're in the base reality, what changes? What changes about our lives, right? With this next statement, I don't want to discourage anybody from doing their paranormal investigations or anything like that. But let me tell you where I'm at this juncture in my life after having investigated ghosts and UFOs and all that stuff for decades. I'm going to tell you where I'm at with it. Okay. Yep. All the evidence indicates that they all exist. And frankly, UFOs, of course. And aliens, yes, of course. I mean, it'd be the height of stupidity to think that the universe is empty. Okay, so in my opinion, yeah, they exist. Okay, and so what that's done for me is I don't get all that excited. You see a UFO, okay, cool, self-evident fact. You know, aliens are out there, self-evident fact. Ghosts, sure. No problem, you know, not afraid of them, not anything, just cool. And for me, at this point in my life, I accept that. I don't really need to understand why they do what they do. And if I did, I'd call Vicky and we'd do a seance or something, you know. I want to talk to him. I don't want to try to figure it out with equipment. So, and we've done that. And so, and I've learned a lot from that. You know, we've talked about that on previous programs. And so it's like having a lawn that needs to be mowed. So you mow it, and then you look at your lawn and you say, okay, the lawn's mowed. Now what? I mean, did that significantly change your life? You got a nice pretty lawn now. But okay, what's next? So what? And so that's the point with a simulation. If we're living in one, okay, cool. Now we know just a little bit more about reality. But really, what's going to change in our lives? Does that make sense? Any comments?
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Good comment. Like,
I mean, well, I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Right, I mean, because we are what we are, and we're living what we live, you know? So I stopped questioning. I'm always fascinated by the mysteries, but I stopped questioning that kind of thing. Kind of, I think, where you're at, Dr. Doug, where what difference would it make? You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I agree. Right. And, you know, like I've said about this, you know, a lot, and we were talking about before we went live, you know, you're not answering anything. You're just kicking the can down the road. You know, it just, that's exactly what you mean. Good, I mean, so I think you said it very well and very eloquently.
Not as well as kicking the can down the road. That's good.
That's a good one. You know, okay. I think that as we, these are good things to entertain ourselves with. And I think sometimes that's what it is entertainment. Because it really doesn't matter. And meaning, how does it change anything? So,
and you've nailed it, because that's my next point.
Yep.
Whether we live in a simulation hypothesis or not really does not matter. Now, it may be impossible to determine if we live in a simulation. The hypothesis is at right this moment unfalsifiable. That means you can't prove it right or wrong. So it may be impossible and likely is impossible to determine, although there might be some physics involved, but it may be impossible to determine. And considering the grand scheme of things, we all die. Therefore, does it really matter if we live in a simulation or not? You know, the most important thing for us now is to live in a successful and enjoyable life. Treat other people with human kindness. Mm-hmm. Lighten others' loads when we can. Brighten others' days when we can. And, you know, I'm going to interject one other thing. You know, all my life I've heard, you know, all you need is love, right? You know, the world needs love. Well, of course it does. And yes, and you know, love is the answer and all this stuff. And I don't know why, but through my young years and up until now, that just hasn't resonated with me. Yeah, it's true. No question that it's true, but it just really didn't resonate with me. It's more like, oh, you got to have love and then everything will be okay. Well, that's the way it hit me, and not maybe the way it was intended, but that's the way it struck me. But you know what? I figured something out. Better late than never. You know, rather than love, why not human kindness? What we need is human kindness. What we need is to help each other. And yes, that is all part of love. But it's more definitive. Human kindness is what we need. We need to show goodwill to people. We need to lighten other people's loads. We need to give them the good word. Hey, how are you? Well, you did a fantastic job on that. And all those kinds of things. So that's the thought I'm interjecting. What we need is human kindness. And so the last point that I'll make, and then we can open this up for further discussion, is that, in my opinion, believing in the simulation hypothesis is kind of like believing in the flat earth. You know, it smacks of conspiracy theorists. And while anything is possible, it's really not plausible nor reasonable that we live in a simulation. I mean, remember Occam's razor, right? In the absence of information, the simplest explanation is likely the correct one. And another little off comment here, if we're living in a simulation, then what generation or level are we? You know, are we living in a simulation of a simulation of a simulation and on? And just because the simulation idea can explain things like gravity and evolution and all that does not mean that it exists. So we keep searching. We keep trying to understand reality a little better. But again, the overarching issue is to show human kindness and not worry about these things because they just don't matter. Comments?
Well, a pet peeve that I have of some of these things people talk about is, well, the universe set that up for you, or the universe wants you to be there, or the universe told me to be here. We have to agree to that. You know, and besides, if the universe set that up, where does the responsibility of people come into play? You know, it's how we are participating in whether it's a simulation or not. You know, we have to agree to it. And we have to look at it differently. I think that, again, simulation or not, I still have to decide the route I'm going to take to get to Walmart. You know, and all those little intricacies of, oh, I have a sense that it's going to be, oh, yeah, I know there's construction there, but I don't know. I have a sense to just take a different route because I have a sense. And how would
and
that
come into
play?
We didn't even get into
play?
Free will. That's a great point.
It's how then would we be interactive at that level of, so when people say, well, you know, that's destined or, you know, that's a universe telling you, or, you know, I go back to if a bird flew in your window, it might mean nothing. The bird just got a glare off the sun and flew in the window. Yeah. You know, it's, that happens. So, that's kind of where I go with this too. Is it possible we're in a simulation of a simulation of a simulation? Yeah, maybe. But it just doesn't change anything for me today.
That's it. That's the point.
Yeah. That's all kind of what I would have to offer to that. I think it's entertaining, though. I love the shows, and I love the hologram, you know, and the being in the holodeck. And I don't know how somebody thought of that.
I know.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Program.
You know, just
part of the speaking simulation.
About, yeah. You know, the only thing I can think of is, you know, it's been said in chat and elsewhere, I can't remember who put this out there, that this simulation that we're in, we might not be part of it. We could be, like, users and an artificial reality, you know. Again, when you open it up to speculation, anything's possible. It's unverifiable. I think one thing that would be interesting is if we are actually artificial intelligence, you know, computer simulation ourselves, and we think, you know, it's, what was it, Descartes? I'm probably butchering the name.
Descartes.
Descartes, thank you. It is the classic, you know, I think, therefore I am. It is the one certainty that we know, right? So we know we exist. If we are AI, doesn't that kind of change how we would look at consciousness from a machine? You know, I've always kind of been of the opinion that I think consciousness can exist from a metal machine just as well as it can from a, you know, biological machine. I think software makes the difference, and I think it makes, you know, a lot of those questions of, you know, what is consciousness? There's no one to sit in there. It kind of brings those into question, but again, it's unverifiable. Until we're on a plane so advanced that we could see our own simulation or see the underpinnings of reality, as in, why does something with a lot of mass create gravity and draw more things to it? You know, all these unanswerable questions, because we just are not at the scope, the level of evolution in terms of thought and awareness to where we could see the workings of the universe.
Right.
Well, there's good things to think about.
Question, isn't time a simulation by nature? And I don't know what to say about that. According to Einstein, time is an illusion. So where do you go with that one? But again, I come back to the point of, regardless of whether time is an illusion or not, we can't get out of it, right? I mean, we can't stop it. We can't go backwards in it, you know, without some kind of a time machine, at which at this point is not available. So I don't know. It's an interesting question, but I don't know what to do with it.
I think we live with a mass conscious understanding of how we have arranged life, and time is a part of that. I mean, there's no question the sun comes up and it goes down. You know, the earth is spinning. Well, unless you're a flat earther. But so what we do, like, who decided that you have a 9-to-5 as opposed to, you know,
society.
A 10-till-2? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's collective agreements that. Yeah, and you know, the calendar, the Roman calendar, you know, we somehow along the way, you know, we have these collective agreements of how we manage time and what we do with that time. So could time be non-existent? I guess, you know, you think about a dragonfly, a whole lifetime is a week. You know, and that's a measure of time. We think, you know, 50, 60 years ago, if you lived to be 60, that was a good lifetime. And now we live to be, what, 82, 84, average lifespan. And so that's a measure of time. But there's a lot of things we do within that measure of time. You know, we have medications, we have treatments, we have all kinds of things to extend life. So I think we manage time as a collective agreement, and what we do with that time and our thinking of that time. So is there time? Well, yeah, we work it out, and we've decided how to manage it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, maybe these points have gotten you to think. That's my objective always, is to provoke to thought. And so hopefully you'll think on these things, and I'll continue to think on them, and be adding these thoughts to a course at some point in the future. So
it's a good topic.
Expand. All right. So, Vicky.
Oh, We have another note, and Dr. Kelly, I'll let you make the announcement. It's a sad one to lose one of our students and good friends.
We were informed a couple of days ago, or was it yesterday, that Dr. Zoran Jovanovic from Serbia has passed away. He was here in the chat room on the program many times. Mm. Great guy, accomplished, and just a good person. And we've all interacted with him, talked to him on Skype here a few months ago, and we don't. I guess we were told that he had a brain hemorrhage, but don't know what caused it or anything, need the details. But anyway, Dr. Zoran Jovanovic, he was a TFU graduate, actually got more than one doctoral degree, got two or three. And he was very pro all of what we do. And so I doubt his family will ever hear this, but we wish our very best and condolences. I know his mom passed away a few months ago, maybe a year ago. And so we certainly can extend our sincere condolences to his family. And honestly look forward to meeting him in the next chapter.
It's, over these many years, Doug, we've had a few losses and some gut us a little more than others. And that's the word I used it when I learned of it. I felt gutted. And Zoran was making such an impact in his world and the people in his life. And certainly, Serbian, the time differences, man, he would still come on. He'd stay up all night just to be in the chat and be in the program. Yeah. I know that there's a couple of people, students, who were very close to him, and our hearts go out to you. I'm not going to mention names at the moment, but our hearts go out to you that you lose a really dear friend. This is a sad one. This is, life is life, and it's, it comes with the thing. We're all going to die, but it's those left behind that grieve. And I wish Zoran all the best on his journey and hold his memory dear.
So. It reminds me of Dr. Deb Gray.
Oh, yeah, I thought about her today.
A year or so ago. That gutted me, too. I mean, that was, what, a year-ish ago. She was in the chat room all the time and such a nice person.
And she was fighting cancer, and, boy, she rose above it, got through it, and then one day her heart just stopped. bless her.
Miss her.
Yeah, there's...
And I'll miss Zoran, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, I will let you and Michael continue on with the cards and all that. And I appreciate everybody's time and attention. Thanks for tuning in. And I'll be here in another month with another topic. Until then, I wish you all my best.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Dr. Doug. We appreciate you.
Thank you as well. Bye, everyone.
Michael.
Yeah, that was... I know we were going to talk about it, it was tough thing, seeing Zoran pass.
It's a tough one. And this is the thing about kindness, when Dr. Doug was talking about kindness, and what an impact that is in our life. The love conquers all. Well, we decide how love is going to act. Mm-hmm. Love isn't a given. It's not a given. We all have it in our spirit to do that, but we have to decide how that is going to behave.
Right.
And that is kindness.
I agree. And, I appreciate the notion, the very optimistic idea that love will conquer all. But I think it's better to say that together we can bear greater burdens than we could alone. That, yes, love helps you in life, but that's because, first off, it is a source of nourishment. We love being around our loved ones. It energizes us and things like that. But also, it is better for our health. We can team up for the future. It makes everything better when you partner with people and using that love to grow. You know, it's not just about a romantic partner. It's about loving your family, loving your friends, you know. Mm. And you can spread the network around. And the more people you have in your network, the more people carrying that kind of burden of reality and of kind of moving through this world, you know, the more you can bear. But anyway, I know we are getting into cards, and I don't want to go off rambling, but I just wanted to say, yep, Dr. Zorn, you will be missed. This is for my part.
Yeah.
And also, it was a good discussion. It's a very intriguing thought. And I think eventually we're going to have to, again, who can know? I think eventually we will have to give AI some of their due. And I don't necessarily mean eventually in 5 to 10 years. Maybe it's 50, maybe it's 100, maybe it's 1,000. I don't know. But at some point, I do believe that artificial intelligence will be equal to biological intelligence in terms of consciousness. So I'm throwing that out there.
I hate to think that, but you're likely right. Seeing the evolution of it, I've had to since kind of rearrange my own thoughts on it, and yikes.
Well, I mean, but then, yes, I get it in the sense of, you know, playing God, but also what is yikes about it? Is it just that we are creating life that, and also life that could be superior to us? Is it our own extinction event? Or is it kind of the realization that we might not, that life might be different than we think it is? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm asking myself as much as anything else. I'm just pondering.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that makes it so unnerving?
But,
yeah. We do have some names coming up.
Names are coming up in the chat. We pick an inner oracle self-discovery card, and I'll back it up with a tarot card and see if there's a story to tell.
I love it. And Dr. Ayana, I have you up first. And to get us started, we have a wild card. Wild card number one, paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered. It's a good one.
Well, you got the Page of Diamonds, and I think this has to do with money and work. It's kind of a double edge. You know, sometimes you can work at something and you don't really love it, but it gives you the money, but you're looking for something to love, but it wouldn't pay you the money. That's the paradox, right? But I think you're looking for that balance somewhere in there where, you know, life is a paradox in so very many ways. But this is about communications of finance, communications about perhaps career or work-wise. And I have I always check in with my feelings on it, and I feel positive. I feel good about it. So it's like keep investigating, keep looking at where the balance might be. Something you love as well as something that, you know, would afford you your life that you need. I hope that makes sense to you. So it's kind of like instead of looking for a second job, you can just have one that you can really enjoy and be good with it. So anyway, that's where I want to go with that, Michael. All right, we have Kevin next, I think.
We do have Kevin next. I need to remember to take myself off mute sooner. Kevin, for you, I did pull number 21, Insight and Wisdom. I can't speak. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
You know, the Seven of Spades or the Seven of Swords can often mean you make away with more than you expect, or somebody else makes away with more than they're entitled to, or you think that they're entitled to. Insight and wisdom. This is asking for you to set emotions aside and look at kind of where you think fairness and equitability would be, and even if you don't think there is any, to make peace with it. You know, it sucks, Michael, because life isn't always so-called fair or just.
Rarely.
But everybody's got their own karma that mm-hmm. goes with that, equal and opposites. And in this case, Kevin, you might be looking around at things saying, what is going on? But I want to assure you everything balances out. It really does. It may take a little longer than we like or than we hope, but the pendulum swings and the balance does meet in the middle. And I guess I want to remind everybody that it's people that create things, mm-hmm. not the universe. The universe ain't doing it. People are doing it. So it's a matter of having that insight and wisdom to people just do people things and their own motivations.
All right.
All right. So we have Donna.
And Donna, for you, I did poll number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Well, again, this is another one about finance. The six of diamonds, six of pentacles, in this case. Trust, integrity with the six of pentacles. I want to say fairness, equitability. I don't know if it's always a good time to ask for a raise. That's what comes to mind. But it is a matter of filing information that when the time does come, it would make sense and it would be just. Boy, I don't know where that came from, Michael.
You got to go with it.
But, yeah. I wish I could say everything is value for value. I mean, look at the world, guys. How do some people have billions of dollars and other people can't pay their rent? So where's the fairness and equitability in that? But I'm inclined to want to tell you, Donna, to have a running tab of what's coming to you or what you think ought to come to you and then ask for it later. Or you have the justification to ask later.
Mm-hmm.
So then it makes sense. That's kind of, that's a new one on me. Mm-hmm. So let's see what happens there.
All right.
And make sure you keep a running log. We have Audra. Hello, Audra.
Hey, Audra. For you tonight, I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Wow, I got the chariot for you, Audra. I just want to say you've got this. The first thing that comes to my mind is you've been through a long road and you're arriving into yourself, like who you are, and you've got the chariot. I mean, he's the driving force, right? And he's got a handle on the negative and the positive, and the balance of that energy. You're way better at navigating situations and people and not taking it to heart in a lot of ways. So I want to say keep doing what you're doing in the way you're doing it. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Michael. I think another promotion is coming. So just keep doing what you're doing, Audra.
I like the sounds of it.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, I have you up next, and I have for you number 15, belief system and knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. That's a good one.
Wow. Okay, I got the Three of Spades. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. And I said, okay, what's that about? And I pulled the Hanged Man in support of that. So here's where I'm going to go with this. Belief systems, knowledge base. Someone or something has been a great disappointment to you. But the greater realization, the spiritual revelations, come once you work through the disappointment. And I don't know if that comes to you in your sleep or you're downloaded in a moment, like an epiphany moment. And they usually come when you're doing menial tasks where you don't have to think too much. It's that heartbreak and disappointment followed by, oh, I get it, you know. And so your mind is then allowed to move with it and feel more at peace is what I want to give to it. So the Hangman is everything to do about spirit, you know, not about the material physical world. So you're able, and easily, I might say, once you have this, you know, open mind, it easily comes to you that I can let that go. So I think that's pretty cool.
I like it. I want to throw out here that I was reshuffling the deck on the cards, and Aaliyah, if I'm not mistaken, is our next card.
Yes,
and it I is. Actually pulled Paradox again. So I always find that interesting. You know, what are the odds that you pull it twice in one night? But so
no kidding.
Got to throw it out there because, you know, it did come up. But I want to make sure you get your own, you know, a specific card as well. So maybe it can be paired with Paradox. And wouldn't you know, the card that I pulled after was number 24, Truth. So, Aaliyah, number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time for deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
And the Wheel of Fortune is saying, take a chance. Take a chance to stand in what you believe. Take a chance to voice your opinion appropriately, so I might say. Paradox, Truth, Wheel of Fortune. Aaliyah, I just feel like you're ready for something. And you've been readying yourself for a long time, but now you have the certainty to feel that. And this time you're not going to back down. But you may have turned away from it in the past, you're going to live in your truth now. So I say that's really powerful. That's pretty cool. I like it. Well, I want to thank Kevin and, well, everybody for the feedback. Audra's commented. Kevin said, in his life, some reconciliation on the table, but too many things have come up. Both parties hate each other. Insight, wisdom, maybe. I guess what I want to say to you that is sometimes things are trivial. In the big scheme of life, it doesn't matter. So it's kind of who cares? It's like, you know, and you do your best. Stephen has just said the cards line up. He's been studying some shadow work as part of a mentorship program. So, yeah, that makes sense. And Nolan said synchronicity is something that keeps coming up for him. Mm-hmm. He's not sure why he feels like there's a force connecting us all. And there is a force connecting us all. And there are synchronicities. You just have to see them. And they're there. Things seem out of order in a lot of ways in life. But there are those who could change that in a heartbeat with a thought, mm-hmm. you know, with an idea, an action. So if you think that there's, you know, something you can do, even by your thoughts, keep that going. And you'll see the little synchronicities, certainly, in your life.
Hmm. Well said.
You know, I'm going to take next week off, everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time I did that, to be honest. But I feel I'm, you know, going back to the old hometown next week. I'm going to visit some friends, but I'm going to visit a sister I've never met, see a nephew I haven't seen in, you know, 35 years. My late brother's son, I couldn't find him for years, finally did. And I'm going to see him. And it's just a time where I think I want to reflect and visit. And, you know, the thing about getting older, I know I'm going to visit a friend I haven't seen in 15 years. We call each other on our birthdays every year, and we talk, but we haven't had the chance to see each other. And getting older, nobody likes to travel much. Her and her husband don't travel mm-hmm. much anymore. And I think that this could well be the last time I see these people.
Right.
I've got another good friend I've known her since 1975, and she's 80 this year. We'll probably never see each other again. And my point of bringing that up is, it's, you know, I go back to Dr. Doug saying about kindness and enjoying people and regarding people. And I've had to remind myself, don't kid me, I'm not that perfect. I like to think I am, but I'm not. Because I don't like traveling. If I could teleport, that would be great. I can't tell you how much I loathe flying. But it's about the value of taking time for yourself and connecting with people who are important. Mm-hmm. And reminding them that they played such a valuable part in your life. Because it brought you to here. You know? And when we're saying goodbye to folks like Dr. Zoran, mm-hmm. That's a good reminder of what an impact that people have had. So I'd like to remind everybody, no matter how tough things feel, how hard the days can feel or how heavy, value the things that are important. You know, value the people and make sure, even if you send them a funny message, you don't have time to phone them or have a chat, give them a funny text or a little thing through Messenger. And it lets people know you're thinking about them. You know, have a little birthday calendar where you are going to text or call somebody on their birthday. Right. Those things are so important. I started doing with this a few friends. I don't text. I don't email ahead of time, set up appointments. I just call them. Because it's like the old days. I said, we have to resurrect the old days. If you don't answer, I'll leave a message. You know, mm-hmm. it's just phone them. It's that simple. Just connect with people that have been really important to you in your life and made an impact. So that's what I want to leave everybody with tonight. And whether we're in a simulated reality or not, it's about our connections.
I love that.
And that's what we got to remember.
Absolutely. And, you know, just very well said. So thank you very much for that. And I think, you know, what better note to go out on? So very much thank you.
Well,
very well said.
Except for one thing.
What you got?
Don't let them push you around out there, people.
I saw it coming. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Vicky. Yep, you get some, you know, well-deserved time to go spend with your family. You know, that is the thing to do because, again, you know, the more people in our networks and more people that are, you know, with us in this life, the better we can, you know, bear it. So,
well, let me share a little bonkers part of the story. Can
sure.
I share this?
Yeah, go for it.
This nephew I couldn't find for years. And for a lot of reasons, his mother, etc., after my brother died. But he and I have the same birthday. So just a couple of years ago, a few years ago, I get this message from a young woman who says, I know this might come as a shock, but I'm your half-sister. I said, oh, no, we're not doing this on Messenger. You give me your phone number. Well, Michael, she has the same birthday as me.
Mm.
And she shares the same middle name. So the three of us connecting, you know, in the next few days, we all have the same birthday. But the sister and I have the same middle name. I say, this is pretty weird, you know. And it turns out that both of them had been street kids for no fault of their own when they were young. And they're in their early 40s now, so let me set that straight. They both really turned their lives around. But to think, had I known about them or what they were going through, I would have taken those kids in a heartbeat. And I have had those moments to tell them that. I'm sorry you went through that. Had I known about you, had I known that, you would not have lived that life. And I think that's important for survivors to know that there are people out there who care, who would have had they known. And so if you know of somebody going through a hard time, let them know that you're doing what you can, or telepassing on information to get somebody to help them. Sometimes we don't know what's going on, but check in with people. I had a lot going on in my life too, raising kids. I wished I had made even more effort than I did to find my nephew. I didn't know about my sister, so what did I know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out there were other people in the family who knew about it who never told me. So I'll hold that against them, that's for sure.
But, understandably.
And that's where, I mean, I've had that moment, because those are really important to people in their healing and in their journey. And so it's just a really weird story that I'm now living, and I say, this is really cool. You know, we all share the same birthday, and her and I have the same middle name, so... there's, we talk synchronicity up there, people. There's something going on. But I'll have a good story for you when I get back.
I love it, and I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah. that is a twist. Did not see that coming. But, well, we're going to miss you next week, and we won't be doing a broadcast, but we'll be following up the Wednesday after. And looking forward to reconnecting with you. Looking forward to reconnecting with all of you. And
maybe we'll just talk about synchronicities. How's that?
Hey, that's not bad. I like it.
All right.
Until then, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.